we're truly excited for what God's going to do in this next season. We're so thankful for the foundation that is here. And God's done amazing things, but I really believe in this partnership together. We're going to just see great things in the church, great things in the community. And so I'm excited to see souls saved. I'm excited just to see what God wants to do. And so it's really great to partner with the team that are here to see what God wants to do in this next season. So thanks for being part of that journey as well. And you'll get to know us a little bit better. But I've got a word I just want to share with you today. And the beginning of middle of last year, my husband Paul and I, we had a bit of a break after COVID and all those delayed holiday plans. Who knows what those were like? We actually got on a plane somewhere. It was actually really exciting to get on a plane. And we went to America and we just said, let's go first. We're going to go to Bethel Church. We just really wanted to receive from God in that season before we started our holiday. And I remember going to Bethel Church in Redding, California. And until you actually go there, you have no comprehension of what Redding is actually like. There is nothing there, like nothing. I think the miracle of what God's doing in that church through Pastor Bill Johnson is incredible when you actually go to Redding, California. And so we went there and we turned up at church and one night we were just there and someone began to say, hey, can we prophesy over you? And I always had a bit of a chuckle. One guy prophesied over Paul. He was in the resource center. He was buying some books and this guy came up to Paul and he actually said, can I prophesy over you? Paul goes, sure, go for it. And he goes, I feel like you're going to be a pastor one day. And he goes, I received that. Thank you. So Paul's still working on being a pastor. So that's really good. Pray for him. But, you know, in the service, we actually got prayed for. And I got to just share with you what happens in our marriage is always like this. They always go, Paul, I've got a word for you. Oh, you're going to take territory. It's going to be great. You're going to do all these amazing things and blah, 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 blah. And then they look at me and I'm either usually forgotten because Paul got the word. But this time in Bethel, he got this great word and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for my word. It's going to be so exciting. My prophetic word. Paul's getting like the download of heaven. He's getting it all. And then they turn to me and sister, because they don't know who I am. They don't know my name. Sister, you need to start believing and declaring good things. That was the word. And I remember getting in the car and I'm a little bit ticked right now. And I said, it always happens, Paul. It always happens. He goes, well, maybe you don't take the word to heart and apply it to your life and receive what God's actually saying. So I went, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start believing for good things. And as I went away and I said, Holy Spirit, what was that word? Like this is a year ago, okay? I've been a Christian a while. I said, what was that word? He says, your default is negativity. Your default is actually coming up with the worst case scenario. You need to start believing and declaring good things. And I went, maybe I haven't been applying the words of God over my life. And I really took it to heart. I said, all right, God, it's a season to bring some new declarations over my life, new declarations over our church. It's time to start believing God's going to do amazing things and not be the person, you know, Paul would launch out, we're going to do something amazing. And then I'll go, yeah, but excuse me, can I just tell you a few things of why that might not happen? No. And I really took that word to heart. And I want to share with you today, it's time for a change of declaration. It's time for a change of declaration because so often we could be speaking over our circumstances and speaking over our family and speaking over our finances and speaking over our kids and our jobs. But I ask you today, what declaration are you actually speaking? I remember neighbors of ours one day I was driving past and she's literally yelling at her children. And I said to her, oh, are you okay? And she goes, my kids are the spawn of Satan. Not a great declaration to have over your children. And I was kind of, oh my gosh, I don't want to speak over my children. Now, I'm not saying anyone's doing that. And if you are, stop it. But what are we declaring? What are we declaring? And for our season right now, I want us to actually declare what God is speaking over every area of our lives. We need some supernatural declarations. And you think about in the Word of God, you look in Genesis. God came and then he didn't think in his mind. He didn't just sit there and hope something would happen. He goes, let there be. And the earth was created with every let there be that he declared. There is something powerful about our declarations. And some of us need to declare over our kids, let there be something over their life. You think about Peter when he was visiting the temple for prayer one day and there was a crippled man just sitting there. And as he walked past, I love that he saw this crippled man and he says, I love this declaration was, even though he had no money to give him, he goes, I've got something I can give you. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And we need some people to make those kind of declarations over their life. I might not have the gifts, I might not have the talents, I might not have the abilities, I might not have the finance, but what I have, I give you, it's Jesus. And there's a declaration over our lives. You think about Ezekiel, when he was taken in the spirit and the Lord presents to him dry bones, not just a few, a valley, a vast valley of dry bones. And he says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I love Ezekiel, probably because he's a bit like us. He goes, only you know, Lord. But God has a plan. He says, prophesy to those bones. Let the word of the Lord come into those bones and they will live. We need to start making some declarations over our lives. Maybe over your finance. I'm going to declare, it looks like a valley of dry bones, but you will live right now in Jesus' name. I love David and Goliath. And I love that, Jordan. That was a really great representation of David and Goliath and throwing a sock. That's awesome. But you know, David didn't come with everything. He couldn't even come with his own armor or Saul's armor. But what he came was with a declaration. He says, you can come against me with your spears and everything that you want to throw at me, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. It's time for a supernatural declaration. What are you speaking? What are you believing over your life? And I'm going to pull something out of a scripture today. You may have never heard this passage of in the Bible before, but I want to give you some declarations today that you need to declare over your life. You ready for it? You've never seen this one before, Psalm 23. Let's go there. And it says this, you should know this. I hope you know this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a powerful declaration. I'm going to give you seven declarations. It's going to take an hour for each point, so let's just go with me on that. No, it's not. But seven declarations from this passage of scripture today. And what you've got to understand, here's David. And commentators feel that he was probably older in life and he was looking back over his life that he'd led. He'd lived that life. And he has this revelation, just like I was a shepherd and looked after my sheep, God is that to me. Isn't it amazing that God will use something that you understand to bring a revelation of who he is? And here David goes, you're just like that, God. You've been like that in my life. How I would herd my sheep and care for my sheep and fight for my sheep. You are that in my life. It was a revelation of who God was looking back. But this is what's so beautiful. He didn't have a picture of a shepherd. He had a revelation of my shepherd. And when we get that revelation in our lives, he's not just the good shepherd. He's my good shepherd who cares for me and loves me so much. And that's the context David saw. I can imagine him sitting there one afternoon and he just gets this download from heaven. You are my shepherd. You've been there every step of the way. You've been good to me in every season. You've never failed me. You've never left me. You've guided me in every challenging moment. you've been there. And so today I'm going to give you 7 declarations. And because I'm a really practical preacher, there's one for every day of the week. All right? You've got to make it simple for me. I can't do complicated, but there's one for every day of the week. And this is the first one. Monday's revelation declaration is this. He provides for my needs. He provides for my needs. It says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What a great way to start the week when you get up and go, you know what? It's all good. He provides for my needs. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be in stress. I don't have to be anxious about what this next season looks like because He provides for my needs. You know, it's an interesting thing. If we really want to make Jesus our shepherd, this is a bit of a challenge. Then we have to acknowledge we're sheep. You can't have a shepherd if you're not a sheep. We've got to be those people that go, you know what? He provides for me. You know, the shepherd would lead the sheep everywhere that they needed to get what they needed. The sheep didn't wake up in the middle of the night and go, I wonder where we'll eat tomorrow. I wonder what the pasture will be like tomorrow. They never had those issues because they knew that they had a shepherd who provided for their needs. And we have to live in that same way. Our declaration is, He provides for my needs. My kids are older now, but when they were young, they didn't come to our room in the middle of the night and say, hey, Mum and Dad, how will you pay the electricity this month? Mum and Dad, will we have food tomorrow? They have never asked those questions. They think we're rich because they keep asking for things from us. And it's amazing, as a child, you actually think your parents are so wealthy. And we have the same picture. We don't have to worry. He provides for our needs. You know, Matthew 6:8, he says, the Father knows what we need before we even ask. And this is why it's such a powerful declaration, because you've got to go, it's not just a shepherd, Jesus. He's my shepherd. And He provides for my needs. Not just the pastors, not just the people who read their Bible, you know, for hours this week. He's my shepherd and He provides for my needs. You know, when we first started out in ministry, I was home with a baby and Paul was on part-time and he was working as a school chaplain. So he only got paid in the school term. And so school holidays were always a little bit of fun, you know, just to navigate what we do in school holidays. And I remember in that season having a baby and not really being able to buy a lot of things for our son Josh at that time. And so it was a lot of hand-me-downs, a lot of things that, you know, had worn out a little bit that we had in our early days of ministry. And I remember just praying, God, You know what our needs are. You know what our needs are. And I'm looking to You because You're my shepherd, not just someone else's shepherd, but You're my shepherd. And Paul went and had an opportunity to preach in Perth. We were living in Adelaide at the time. He went to Perth. He came back. And about 6 weeks later, after him being in Perth, he came back and, came back straight away, sorry. But 6 weeks after he preached, this package arrived in the mail, just arrived at our doorstep. And we opened it and we weren't expecting anything. Opened this package and there was custom-made, bespoke children's clothing. I opened it and a girl had been at a Youth Alive rally where Paul preached. And she was so touched, the Holy Spirit spoke to her at a Youth Alive rally. She made custom children's clothing. She had a business online. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to her and said, prepare a wardrobe for their child. And bless them with a couple of years' worth of clothing. This box came, and I'm telling you, I've never seen such exquisite children's clothing. He was better dressed as a 2-year-old than Paul and I were. Everyone go, where'd you get that? I go, oh, it's kind of custom made. There's only one of a kind. But it really hit home to me in a season where we couldn't even imagine that that could happen. When you actually have a declaration, He knows and provides for my needs because He's my shepherd, I'm telling you, you've got to get this declaration over your life. When you get a bill this week, when you get school fees this week, when something happens to your car this week, you need to declare and go, you know what? He provides for my needs. Amen? Amen. That's your Monday declaration. Your second one is this. Your Tuesday declaration. It's a good one for Tuesday. He sustains me. He sustains me. You're kind of in the week, but you're not quite near Friday yet, but He sustains me. I love what it says in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Do you know the Lord wants to sustain you? He wants to be with you in every season. He wants to give you everything you need to go through every season. And I love this picture of David actually having this revelation. He sustains me. He puts me in the right places. He gives me rest when I actually need it. He puts me beside quiet waters. Why? Because He wants to refresh my soul. He sustains me. I love this. He wants to minister to you physically, spiritually, and emotionally. That's what our Lord wants to do. And He literally wants you to begin a declaration going, "You sustain me." In all the stress and all the chaos that we live in, we can have a place of refuge in our Lord, our shepherd, when we understand He sustains me. And whatever you're going through today, you don't have to be buffeted by all the things of the world. You can have a confidence. Lord, You're refreshing me. You're bringing rest into my circumstances right now. And it's such a beautiful picture of what the shepherd wants to do for you. You know, years ago, I actually moved to Katoomba. I lived in the Blue Mountains for a year and I went to Bible college there, or Bridal College, whatever they call it. And I'd come from South Australia. I'd never been to anything, never left home before. And I found myself in Katoomba in the coldest place, that street, that windy street that just the wind goes right through you. And it was just a really challenging season for me. I was being obedient to God and stepping out. Oh, but man, I miss my family. I missed, you know, and we used to eat in. It was very old-fashioned back then. We'd eat in the dining room back then. And, you know, there's a lot of food you couldn't actually recognize. And they just stretched it. Let's just say they stretched it far. And by Friday, they took all the leftovers and deep fried them. And that was always a specialty on Friday night at Bible college. But I'll never forget going home. And I'd go back and visit my family. And I'd walk in and my mum would have my favourite food. She'd let me sleep in my beautiful bedroom. She'd let me be refreshed, anything I wanted or needed. And I tell you what, when you walk into that place, you go, oh, that's what God wants to do for you. That you can be in craziness all around you, but He says, I'm going to give you rest. And I really feel there's just some people, maybe you've got turmoil, you're just in the midst of turmoil. You can know rest in that place. You can actually walk through it and just go, while everything is chaos around you, you can walk in rest because Tuesday's declaration is He sustains me. Third one, Wednesday's declaration. I love this one. He leads me. He leads me. In verse 3, it says, He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. What an incredible picture that God is taking you where He wants you to go. He's leading you and guiding you every step of the way. And you don't have to fear. You don't have to get anxious about what the next step looks like because He is leading you. And I love this. He's not just leading you. It actually says in the Word of God, He's leading you according to the right paths. What a beautiful picture. You can go right through the Word of God. You know, the Israelites' journey, they kind of never went from A to B. They kind of went A to Z to T. You know, they just went in a whole journey that we could never make sense of. But God says, if you trust me, if you declare over your life that He's leading you, He will lead you in the right paths and the right places. And I said to the girls yesterday, we've got to stop thinking destination. And think doing the journey with Jesus. And He is guiding every step that you're going on. He is taking you on a journey. And I tell you what, He knows what He's actually doing. You know, even when the Israelites were in the wilderness, this blows my mind. He sent a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He would guide them in that way so they knew where they were to go. Talks about when the cloud would descend, they would stop. And when the cloud would lift, they would go. He leads us if we're willing to be led. Being a sheep, we need a shepherd, but we're going to be willing to be led. You know, a few years ago, we have a church in Mumbai and they have an incredible ministry, particularly to kids. It was great to see what's happening in Indonesia. But the kids' ministry has just exploded. It's just booming. And a lot of the kids come from the slums. And so every time I get to go to Mumbai, it's an absolute privilege to walk and through the slums with our team. And you might start off at the edge, and by the time you're right in the middle, you've got hundreds of kids following you and they all want prayer and they all want you to come and visit their little house. And it's actually one of the most impacting things you'll ever experience. But it's amazing in those slums as I walk with the pastor there, Pastor Winston, I have no idea where I'm going. No idea. Like, we're talking a maze. There is no order in the slums. It is crazy how many people they can fit in such a tight place. But as you walk through, I'm just going, I'm trusting Winston. I'm just trusting this guy that he's actually going to take me where we need to go. And not only that, once we get there, he's going to actually get me out at the end as well. We've got to have that same trust. We've got to say, you lead me. You lead me. And if you're in confusion right now, if you don't know what decisions to make in this season right now, you need to actually have a declaration of your life. He leads me. As you go into the new year, don't just fumble your way through. Make a declaration. He's leading me in this new year. It's a very powerful thing. The fourth declaration is this. He is with me. What day are we up to? Thursday. Is that right? This is a good one for Thursday. He is with me. What an incredible thought. In verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. If we had that revelation, I'm telling you, our lives would look completely different. If we actually believe that he is with us. And we've got to have that conviction. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And I want you to get this picture because you think about a shepherd with his sheep. At the end of the day, once the shepherd has herded his sheep into a pasture, he doesn't go home. He doesn't go to the hotel down the road and order room service. He sleeps with the sheep. He has his food there with the sheep. He spends his life with the sheep. And that's the picture of our Jesus and who he is. He is with us. He is present right in the middle of your circumstances. And we all know you can't avoid valleys, but you don't have to fear because he is with you there. It's such a powerful thing. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Years ago, I was actually at a Youth Alive conference on the Gold Coast, and my dad had just had a heart attack. And the prognosis for him probably wasn't too good. And yet God was calling me to go to Bible college. And I'll never forget, here I am, I'm in Adelaide, but I'm at this conference on the Gold Coast. And I felt God say, go to Katoomba, live there for a year. And I'm like going, I can't now. My dad's had a heart attack. I can't leave my mum. I can't do any of these things. And I changed kind of my direction and planned other things. And I remember being in that conference that day and I just had a picture of who God was seated on the throne. And he was present right there in my circumstances, in every challenge I was facing. And in that moment, fear left and all anxiety about my dad left. And I was able to leave to go to Bible college. He was fruitful. I was fruitful because I had a conviction. He is with me. What a powerful thing. And I want to encourage you, if there's someone here today, there is loneliness in your life. And you've got to stop looking at it and going, I'm lonely. No, he is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. You're only lonely if you think you're lonely. But when you understand you have a shepherd, he's with you. The next declaration is this. I love this one. He blesses me. He blesses me. What a powerful picture. And it talks about in verse 5, you know, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this picture because David was talking about this and he was surrounded by enemies basically his whole life. He had to fight lions. He had to fight bears. He had to fight Goliath. He had to deal with all these kind of things. Even as king, he had to deal with enemy armies all his life. But he had a conviction. Even in my worst season, God blesses me. And we need that declaration in our lives as well, that he blesses me. I remember Paul was preaching one day, came home to me, and he had this great revelation. He says, I was driving home from the Sunshine Coast, and God told me to build you a house. I went, amen, finally, this is getting good. Something for me, you know, give, this is for me. And he goes, and this is how we're going to build a house. We're going to sell our current house. We're going to give lots of money to the church. And with what's left over, I'm going to build you a house. And I went, excuse me? I said, you're going to buy me a caravan or you're going to build me a house? He goes, no, I'm going to build you a house. And I'm like, God, this doesn't make any sense. So we sold a house. We did well out of that. And then we started giving money to the church. We employed an executive pastor for a year full time, and we did all these things because we were a pioneer church, and I'm watching the money go down. And then he says, and now I'm going to build you a house. And I went, great, it's going to be a one bedroom with a toilet out the back. And I remember in that season we had a builder in our church, and he found a block of land for us because we're useless at these kind of things. And he says, let me put a quote together for you. And in a pioneer season, when we weren't even earning a full wage, we built a house that became a miracle home. And I had a chuckle the other day as I was reading the paper. The suburb next to us, it's called Chandler, is the most expensive suburb in the whole of Queensland. And we're right next door. And I went, he blesses me in ways I could not even imagine. When you actually believe and follow Jesus, he blesses. You know, I love this quote, a great preacher, Dr. Mark Rutland. He says this is the picture. Get this picture. It's like he puts food on the table for you, a big buffet, your favorite foods that you just want to eat out all day. And he puts this food on your table, and then he makes your enemies watch you eat it. Isn't that a great picture? That's the blessing of the Lord. Even in the worst circumstances, yeah, I'll have another piece of that, thank you. And yep, that's my favorite. He blesses. Worship team, come and join me. Sixth declaration is this. He anoints me. He anoints me. Verse 5 says this, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. We've got to declare that over our lives. He anoints us. There was two ways that anointing was seen in the Word of God. There's anointing for a position or authority, to release authority, but there was also anointing for comfort and healing. And David says, you've anointed me to do what I need to do, but you've also anointed me with comfort and healing in my life. And we need to be people who understand God anoints us. And it sounds really spiritual, but let's make it really practical. He wants to anoint you to be the best parent you can possibly be. He wants to anoint you in your workplace. He wants to anoint you in your studies. He wants to anoint you in business, whatever it is. He wants to anoint you and give you authority to succeed in those areas. But there's also an anointing that brings comfort, an anointing that brings healing. And we need to have that revelation. He anoints me and my cup overflows. I'm not living in lack. I don't have deficits. I'm living in the overflow of the things that God has got for me. There's an anointing today to do things. There's an anointing to restore things. It's so powerful. Let's move on for time's sake. The last one is this. This is one of my favorites. The last declaration is this. He is my confidence. He is my confidence. Verse 6 says this, surely. Everyone say surely. Your goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, surely goodness and mercy are following you. Surely His goodness and His mercy are following you all the days of your life. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher and theologian, he described it like this. Imagine goodness and mercy, or steadfast love, which is what mercy means. Imagine goodness and mercy are twin guardian angels. And you go through your life with twin guardian angels of goodness and mercy following you. And everywhere you go, there's goodness and there's mercy and there's goodness and there's mercy, and they're following you, chasing you down all the days of your life. Now let's take that picture a little bit further. You've got these guardian angels following you of goodness and mercy, but we have a shepherd that we follow. His name is Jesus. We've got Jesus and goodness and mercy and Jesus and goodness and mercy following us. We're leading by Jesus, but followed by goodness and mercy all the days of our life. We need to begin declaring, He is my confidence. In any situation, I can have confidence of the future. In any situation, I can actually go, hey, I'm following Jesus and I've got goodness and mercy following me behind. It's all good. And we need more confident Christians to actually go, you know what? I'm not going to flip out every time something bad happens. I'm not going to allow fear to come into my heart, because I am following Jesus, my shepherd. And I've got goodness and mercy chasing me down all the days of my life. David was looking back and he just had a revelation. I get it. The Lord's my shepherd. Everything I did for a sheep, He does for me, and so much more. I finish with this and then we're going to pray. There was a Sunday school teacher on her little class, not eating fish and chips and bread out the, that sounds pretty good. But to this class, and she said to her class, all right, class, they're about 8-year-olds. We're going to memorize Psalm 23. We're going to learn it off by heart. And then over the coming weeks, you're going to recite it to the whole class, without any notes, without your Bible. You're going to just get up and say it. And this poor little boy, he's like, oh no, how am I going to do this? This is so hard. And over the weeks, it'd be girls get up and they'd do it perfectly. Other boys would get up, do it perfectly. And his time came this one Sunday in his class. So he got up there and he got up in front of the class and he starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he went blank. There was nothing. He'd practiced, he'd learnt it, he'd recited it to his mum, but nothing was going on in his brain. I've been there, I know what that's like. And he thought, I'll have another go. The Lord is my shepherd. Nothing. And then he got this revelation. He goes, okay, I've got it this time. I know what to do. He goes, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all you need to know. And my encouragement to you today is this. The Lord's your shepherd. That's all you need to know. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet?